You're listening to Engage with Andy Bush. To connect with the program today, please send an email to andrew.bush@comcast.net. That's andrew.bush@comcast.net. Now, back to this week's program.
Welcome to Engage with Andy Bush. I'm your host and guide through the financial morass that we call the markets. Remember, you can get my research on andrewbush.com or follow me on Twitter at ABUSCH. Now, in this segment, we'll discuss the key factors influencing the U.S. economy and the changing outlook for interest rates. Joining us to discuss this and more is Chairman and CEO of Adrian Day Asset Management, Adrian Day. Now, Mr. Day manages discretionary accounts in both global and resource areas, and his company can be found at AdrianDayAssetManagement.com. Adrian, welcome to Engage.
Well, thank you for having me. Thank you.
All right. I got a wonderful chance to listen to you and meet you down at the World Money Show. That was a lot of fun. But I want to talk, your latest book on investing is called Investing in Resources, How to Profit from Outsized Potential and Avoid the Risks. Now, if you ask me, Adrian, this sounds almost too good to be true after some people clearly have been burned recently in oil and in gold. How do you approach investing in resources to profit and avoid risk?
Well, I mean, you're correct, of course. You can't get all of the gains without taking some of the risk. And I think it's very important that any investor interested in the resource sector realizes that resources are, by their nature, volatile. Mm-hmm. Volatility, of course, is something different from risk. But if you have downside volatility for nearly 3 years, I think that sort of comes pretty close to risk.
Right.
but, you know, resources are inherently volatile for lots of reasons that we don't really have to get in time to get into. So, you know, I try to approach a sector by saying, okay, here are the risks. We can't avoid the risks, but how do we mitigate the risks? So, for example, with the senior mining companies, you know, they have a significant difficulties. Just to take example, you build a mine in the middle of the Democratic Republic of the Congo, you sink
right.
$2 billion in. Well, once those $2 billion are in the ground, are sunk into the ground, you can't just pick up and move your mine somewhere else as you can a factory or mm-hmm. outsourcing, you know, garment manufacturing if you don't like what happens. So you're a sitting duck for governments, so governments are always raising taxes.
Yeah.
The way we try to mitigate that is by looking at, for example, royalty companies. Royalty companies will put money into a company in exchange for a percentage of the future gold production, but they're not responsible for any additional costs, any additional taxes, anything that goes wrong. And so these companies, to quote the book cover, have potential, outsized potential, but they minimize the risk.
And is that mainly where, well, let's talk, let me take a step back for a second. So where do you currently see opportunities and resources? You mentioned these royalty companies. Clearly, that's one of them. But where else do you see some opportunities?
Well, I'm quite bullish on gold itself, frankly. You have to be bullish on, I think you, by and large, you have to be bullish on a commodity or a resource to want to invest in any company in that segment. That might sound obvious, but I think it goes without saying.
Adrian, so, nothing is obvious to me, so just state it clearly.
Well, I'm bullish on gold for a lot of reasons, but I think partly because, you know, all of the factors that have pushed gold down over the last 2.5 years, mm-hmm. I think have either played out or are playing out, or have been grossly overdone. So, for example, we've heard the Federal Reserve in the United States talk about tightening. Really, pretty much now for the last year, they've been talking about tightening, and they did
right.
end that bond buying program. Well, anytime you have tightening, higher interest rates, rising interest rates, is other things being equal, a negative for gold. But I think what's happened is the market has overreacted to the talk. I think the reality is that the Fed is going to be very slow. Slow in raising interest rates in any meaningful way for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, I think that's a great point because globally, what have we seen? I mean, globally, interest rates have fallen. Even though the Fed has seen a decent economy, actually, the 10-year bond yield fell below 2%, and I think that caught everybody by surprise. So to your point, I think you're right on that, is that rates, because they're impacted globally, are going to stay lower for longer than most people realize.
Well, that's right. And as you say, other countries around the world are not only keeping their rates low, but are continuing to go lower. Mm-hmm. Just to name two examples in the last couple of weeks, Denmark lowered its interest rates. Canada lowered its interest rates. Singapore is easing its monetary policy. And so against the background of everyone else easing their policy, the Fed doesn't need to tighten to stand out. The other thing that's happening, of course, is that this dichotomy between the U.S. and Europe in particular is causing the dollar to go up. And
right.
It's going up to a point where it's actually causing concern now among Fed members that the dollar's gone up too much. In that kind of scenario, the last thing you want to do is start raising interest rates, which will only push the dollar further up.
So you think the stronger dollar is going to further push the Fed back and saying, look, we really don't need to worry about inflation. That's not going to be an issue. There's no rush here because the U.S. dollar strengthened against Europe. It's strengthened against the yen. And the price of oil is so low here, there's really no inflation.
No, I think that's true. I mean, we can debate inflation or consumer prices, but yes, that's absolutely true. There's no urgency for the Fed to raise interest rates. And yet one of the main reasons that the dollar has gone down over the last year is fear of higher interest rates.
Mm-hmm.
That gold has gone down over the last year.
Right.
I'm also bullish on certain commodities like copper where there is a potential supply problem.
What kind of supply problem are we talking about? How is that caused?
Well, the plain fact is that finding and bringing into production big mines are very, very rare. You know, a couple of years ago, we had the Oyu Tolgoi mine in Mongolia, which is a fabulous mine, don't get me wrong, but it was headlines and all this talk about new production and so on. Well, it comes in at the number 10 produced, barely, the number 10 producer in the world, but it doesn't even begin to make the top 10 in terms of size of mine for reserves and so on.
Mm-hmm.
My point is that most of the big mines that are being produced, that are producing today, copper mines, most
right.
of the big copper mines are 60, 70, 80 years old. Chuqui, of course, is Chuqui Camata in Chile, which is the second largest gold mine, copper mine, is over 100 years old. So big copper mines are very, very rare. And if you look ahead, it's normally at least 20 years from discovery to production, sometimes as short as 10 or 12 years, but typically 20. And so we can see what mines are coming on stream in 2016, 17, 18. And the plain fact is that nothing of any significance is coming on stream in those years. So if demand continues to be as strong as it is and has been, and there's no new demand no new supply coming on stream in those years, we're heading to higher prices.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, I hadn't looked at it that way. Well, you know, I know you manage global accounts. So what now is your balance between the U.S. and the rest of the world?
It's a good question, but let me say, first of all, I don't really look at it that way. I mean,
okay.
Obviously there's a balance, but I don't look at it that way. I don't say from a top-down point of view, you know what, U.S. is stronger than everyone else, so I want at least 60 or 70% in the U.S. I don't look at it that way.
Mm.
I look at it more from a bottom-up point of view, and I look where the values are.
Okay.
Right now, we're seeing a few good values in the United States. But with the market where it is, I have to say we're finding fewer, you know, in the last few months, we've been finding fewer than we did, say, a year and 2 years ago. 2 years ago, we had twice as much in the United States as we did in the rest of the world combined. And for the last 6 months, it's been the other way around. We've had twice as much in the rest of the world as we have in the U.S., and our buying is increasingly focused on other countries. So, you know, pretty soon we're going to wind up with maybe a third or a quarter. quarter of our portfolio in the U.S. If the market continues to go up.
Well, where do you see value elsewhere in the world? Obviously, that kind of begs the question, what do you like that's out there?
Yeah, well, a couple of things we do like. Apart from gold, I'm very keen on gold. In the United States, I like something that are called, these are more for conservative investors, perhaps older right. investors looking for income. I like very much a sector that's called a business development company. These are
BDCs.
Companies that lend money to small, medium-sized businesses. They like REITs, like real estate trusts. They don't pay tax at the corporate level if they distribute all their or net operating income to shareholders. So yields tend to be high. So just to name one of several that we like, one is Ares Capital. This is a $5 billion company, over $5 billion. It's one of the largest. It is the largest of the dividend paying BDCs. Its yield right now is over 9%,
wow.
and that's 9% that is covered by recurring income that they receive.
Mm-hmm.
So, for someone wanting income, I think that's just very, very tough to beat. And that particular sector has been really quite beaten down over the last year. Again, fear of higher interest rates. But I think is misguided because in the case of Ares, as well as most BDCs, most of our loans are floating rate, have floating rates anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So even if rates do go up, their income will go up. So
sure.
It's a misguided concern. Overseas, we're focused primarily on Asia and primarily on the larger markets in Asia, ex-Japan. We don't like Japan. We did, but we don't anymore, like
okay.
Singapore and Hong Kong. We have very little in Europe right now. I think Europe's expensive and obviously has the risk of more debt crises ahead.
Right.
But it's also expensive. I mean, we'd buy it if it was cheap, but it's not. So we like Hong Kong. I mean, some of the property companies in Hong Kong are very, very inexpensive in my view. One of the largest is a company called New World Development. You know, that's 82 billion Hong Kong dollars. So that's about a $13 billion U.S. Company.
Mm-hmm.
It yields almost 4.5%, but perhaps more importantly, it's trading at only half of book value. So it's been all the property stocks have fallen in the last year out of concern
right.
about, China's real estate market. In the case of a company like New World, New World is a commercial developer, so Chinese buyers are very few and far between. Most of the Chinese buyers in Hong Kong are on the higher-end residential sector. So you've seen significant declines in these markets, and I think when something's selling at half of its book value, you've got a pretty darn good cushion, for some kind of decline. So we do like those.
All right, well, let's leave it there for now. Adrian Day from Adrian Day Asset Management, thank you for coming on. This is great. I love the value. I love the bottom-up approach, and I love the value investing.
Well, and thank you very much for having me.
Not a problem. All right, we'll take a break. You're listening to Engage with Andy Bush. We'll be right back.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
If you are in sales, do you repeatedly face the same challenges over and over? Slumping sales, job security worries, trying to get your brand off the ground. It's time to come over to a new way of thinking. It's time for Stand Up, Stand Out, or Stand Down with Malcolm Evans, the Sales Accent Guy. You'll hear what works today to keep you at the top of your sales game and increase your business directly from some of the most respected voices of the sales world. Tune in Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.